So here's my next little plea to get out the vote. It's going to be really short, but did you know that Mary Robinson, who used to be the president of Ireland, wrote a new book this fall called Climate Justice? And I guess my mom was watching a book talk or something, and it made me think about my book called Stop the Next War Now, Effective Responses to Violence and Terrorism by the ladies who wrote Code Pink. This came out in 2005, but I think it's just as relevant today, if not more. And here's Mary Robinson says, what we expect of America. On page 114, Mary Robinson is the former president of Ireland and the former UN High Commissioner for Human Rights. This essay appeared in a slightly different form in, it must be a magazine or something, called The American Prospect, but I'm going to read it really quick, really here. What We Expect from America by Mary Robinson. U.S. leadership was critical in building the global human rights agenda from the ground up, beginning with the 1948 Universal Declaration of Human Rights. More than half a century later, that agenda and the movement it inspired urgently need renewed U.S. leadership at every level, from grassroots activism to government policy and actions nationally and globally. The reluctance of the United States to embrace fully the international human rights system it did so much to establish has weakened efforts to promote democracy and social justice in the United States and abroad. Witness what has happened following the terrorist attacks of 9/11. Since then, the U.S. government has decided to hold detainees at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, without Geneva Convention hearings, to monitor, detain, and deport immigrants against whom no charges have been made, and to restrict visitors and immigrants alike from many parts of the world. In lowering its own standards, the United States has, often inadvertently, given other governments an opening to ignore international rights commitments. I saw this firsthand as the United Nations High Commissioner for Human Rights. A number of countries have introduced repressive laws and detention practices, all broadly justified by U.S. actions and the international war on terrorism. I will never forget how one ambassador put it to me bluntly. Don't you see, High Commissioner? The standards have changed. We must challenge this view and do everything possible to maintain the integrity of international human rights and humanitarian law norms in light of heightened security tensions. Yet we must do more. We must also win the war of ideas and make the case that true security is possible only when the full range of human rights, civil and political, as well as economic, social, and cultural, is guaranteed for all people. This thinking isn't new. In fact, it draws in the best traditions of U.S. leadership epitomized by President Franklin Delano Roosevelt's celebrated 1944 State of the Union Address. But succeeding U.S. administrations have rejected the idea that education, health care, adequate housing, and food are rights citizens are entitled to, sometimes contending that these are aspirations, not justifiable rights. Some of our leaders have voiced fears that U.S. sovereignty and states' rights would be put at risk by ratifying international human rights agreements. These philosophical and legal issues have long been debated, but we've spent far less time considering the advantages of committing ourselves to human rights around the world, namely that the vision, legal framework, methods, and strategies of the human rights movement can support and strengthen U.S. efforts to promote democracy and social justice today. I am encouraged by the emergence of a U.S. movement that advocates the rights of people across the globe. For example, a growing number of academics at U.S. medical schools and groups such as Physicians for Human Rights are defending everyone's right to the highest attainable standard of health and demonstrating the impact this shift would have on the way decisions are made about health spending and access to health services, especially for the most vulnerable. At human rights conventions, U.S. development and humanitarian organizations increasingly empower grassroots civil society groups to press their governments to take appropriate actions. The U.S. labor movement, through new initiatives such as American Rights at Work and networks of women's and children's advocacy organizations, are recognizing the potential power of the international human rights agenda. Reclaiming American traditions that contributed so much to the creation of the international human rights movement will be an uphill journey. We must begin close to home while being mindful that each step will have a profound impact on the realization of human rights around the world. And then there's a quote, warfare is only an intervention, not a biological necessity, by Margaret Mead. And I know that my podcast is supposed to be about gardening and digging in the dirt and growing food, but I just can't help but feel in this day and age of division and anger that we need a little positivity, and we need to remember the values of the United Nations, of the United States, to promote the United Nations and to work for human rights. I mean, if we don't value human rights, what are we as a country? So that's all I have to say today. I hope you vote on November 6th for whoever you feel is the candidate that most represents your vision. I guess I read that because what I really wanted to talk about was Mary Robinson's climate justice book that just came out. So I ordered it from the library. I hope you'll check it out. And I do feel like that book is completely 1,000% relevant to gardeners.